As like I said this morning, until there, we might as well rehearse and plan and celebrate and praise and worship like we're going to do there. I think we're some of us, not all of us, but some of us are going to be real surprised when we get to heaven. Not in a bad way, but when it comes to worship and praise, sometimes I think we're a little bashful, a little shy. And some of those people that are a little bashful and a little shy don't seem to be the same way when they're at a ball game. Come on, come on, come on. Talk to me. Amen. You see, a lot of people get up and down and excited about a ball game and about a touchdown and a big play. And nothing wrong with getting just excited at church about worship and about praise and even about preaching once in a while. Amen. All right. Honoring God. We'll go to the second section, part two of honoring God. And we continue in this new series on I Choose to Honor God. Life is full of choices. And sometimes we just choose to do things. And go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 2 because there's some sections that I'm going to read from that's not in your notes that I gave you, 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I'm going to read a lengthy section of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 through 14 in just a moment. I was excited about Bible college, but my junior and senior year, I struggled. I was tired and I wasn't always ready, but yet I had to choose and make a decision. I'm rolling out of this bed on Monday morning, even though I worked the weekend, even though I worked bus ministry, even though I haven't slept but 4 hours since Friday, I've got to get up and go to school. And those mornings that I just couldn't manage to choose to get up, Michelle had a water bottle with squirt that she could squirt and help me out. But sometimes we just have to make choices. We just have to choose. Even though I don't feel well, I'm choosing to get up and go on. I don't have a fever. I'm not contagious. I just need to go on and be faithful. I need to do what I need to do. I need to take care of my family. I need to fulfill my obligation or whatever those things are. And it's the same thing when it comes to honoring and serving the Lord. Some days we just have to make a choice to do it. Choice to serve. Hey, folks, again, I've always tried to be transparent. I'm your preacher. But there's some days I just don't want to come up here and look at y'all. Sometimes it's just a bad attitude on my part or just not feeling well or just hurting or just don't feel good. I mean, come on now, am I not the only one that's ever been in the gloomies? You know, sometimes we just all feel that way, but sometimes we just have to choose. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to choose to serve Him. I'm going to choose to read my Bible even though I don't feel well. And technology has made it easy. When we have those headaches, we can't hardly see to read. Well, I can pick up my phone and hit the audio app and I can listen to it. We make choices, and sometimes I hope that we make the choices that honor God. So we choose to or we choose not to, but we make choices. All right, last week we looked at a reference to how to honor God and things that we should do. We said by presenting our best to the Lord, and then we looked at by keeping Him as the one that I desire to please the most or the one I desire to please. And then number three tonight we're going to look at by accepting life's challenges. By accepting life's challenges. And life is full of those. Let's look in our text, 1 Samuel chapter number 2, and we'll read verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy fathers should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Brother Mike, share. Will you ask God's blessings on the reading of His word and the preaching tonight? Amen. Go ahead and look at 1 Samuel there. Look at chapter 3. We're going to go ahead and read a little more scripture to go with this first point. We'll read verses. I was going to read verses 11 through 14, but I think I'm going to go ahead and read 11 through 18. But this aspect of by accepting life's challenges. Here we're going to find out real quick that Eli has made some bad choices, but Samuel, this young man, has stepped up to the plate in some areas, and he's been put in a corner, so to say, but he stepped up and he made some decisions and did what he needed to do. Notice here, 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we'll begin reading verse number 11. And the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifices nor offerings forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Let me stop there just for a moment. Here's this young lad, had the vision. The Lord spoke to him, laid there the rest of the night. He still made a choice to get up and go to the house of God. He didn't put aside. He didn't dread. He didn't put off until tomorrow. He knew that he had to tell Eli, his mentor, the prophet. He had to confront him and tell him what had taken place. He stayed to his duty. He went to the house of the Lord. And it says, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. See, this was not as an easy thing for the child Samuel to say to the high priest Eli. Yet, he was far more concerned with honoring God than honoring man. It's a shame that his mentor there, the priest, didn't have the same approach. See, honoring self may give lip service to obeying God, but that's all. We must honor the Lord. Not just honoring with this lip service, but actually obeying God and doing what he'd have us to do. Plainly put, Eli gave lip service to God's instruction, but he did not give real service. God had warned him. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 22 through 24. I believe you have those in your notes. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all things his sons did unto all Israel. Guess what? Some things haven't changed. Pastor eventually hears the murmuring and the disputing and the things are going around. It just gets around. It just happens because God wants them to know. And just like he wanted this Eli the priest to know as well. People talk. And guess what? People around them that talk have ears to hear. And they repeat. Let's continue. And heard all that his son said unto all of Israel, and how they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. And then back in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, for I have told him that I will judge his house, referring to Eli, forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. He knew, he was confronted, he was told that what he needed to do, but yet he did not carry out. So please help me. Who did he honor more, God or his sons? But yet we are to honor God. It doesn't matter if it's our wife, ladies, gentlemen. Doesn't matter if it's our husband, ladies. Doesn't matter if it's our children. We are to honor God. Period. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it can be very hard as a parent. And by the way, that's why it's called parenting. It's making the tough decisions. But Eli wasn't willing to do that. Eli did speak to his sons about their sin, but he honored them above God because he did not do the work of restraining. He just told them, look out, you need to stop this. I know what you're doing. I hear what's going on, but he didn't stop it. He didn't constrain them. He didn't pull them away from their duties. See, we can see that there is a difference in what life looks like when we honor God rather than ourselves. But what does honor really mean? In Scripture, the word honor is used both as a noun and as a verb. Now, keep in mind, we're still referring to this aspect of honoring God by accepting life's challenges. It can be challenging. It can be difficult, but we can do it. Psalm 66, verse 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, unto God. That's how I sing. I make a joyful noise. All ye lands, sing forth the honor of his name. The honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Here the word communicates the idea of something almost tangible being placed upon a person. It is something that they possess. It means that they possess glory and dignity and reverence and abundance. It's obvious that Eli did not have this at this time. There was a time that he may have, but here in this chapter, in this story, in this procedure with his sons, he did not. See, honor can actually be something that is placed upon you and then is possessed or received. In other words, God can actually give you honor. Another way of God honoring us is through the blessings that he provides and gives, through those blessings that God bestows upon us. He can honor us. However, our primary view today has been, and last week, is to look at the word as it pertains to its verb form, which requires action. When we come to our text here in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, we find that honor is a verb. It requires action on the part of the doer, the one attempting to honor. So let's define the verb and what it means for us today. The word honor means to be heavy or to give weight or worth. Making weighty those things that God says are important. So if God says it's important, how important is it to us? That's where that honor is, where we're giving honor back to God as we receive honor that God bestows upon us as well as others. But are we honoring him and recognizing those things that are important to God? Those things that God says that we should do and those things which we should not do. I believe, let me give you an illustration. Gentlemen, ladies, sharpen up your elbows. Ready, ladies? Sharpen up your elbows. Get a little closer. Have you ever gotten something, gentlemen, for your wife because it is what you wanted? You know, like a sports package during college football season because she really likes it when you relax. She really likes it when you're enjoying this. So you made sure that you got this for your wife in order that you might enjoy it because she enjoys watching you enjoying things. Boy, that's a big circle, isn't it? But do we not kind of do that to God? Do we not kind of do things and make choices because it's really what we think we want or think that maybe God wants to bless me, God wants me to have these things? See, I believe much of in our worship today exists because it's how we want to come before God. This is how I want to come to church. This is how I want to come before the Lord. This is how I want to worship. We reason that God is so desirous of making us happy that this worship or action or thing must be pleasing to him. Come on, think about it. Do we think about worship? Do we think about how we come to the house of the Lord? It can be very interesting when you're in a large church and seeing lots of people pull into the parking lot. Especially when you see them pulling in, they don't realize you're seeing them, and there's a lot of fussing going on. The pastor just hopes it's not fussing and cussing. But there's a lot of fussing going on, and maybe someone's reaching back at the kids and doing this number, or all this going on, and the kids are back there going like this, and I'm laughing at mom and dad because they can't reach. Then all of a sudden, they get to the parking lot and reach over, and they go from as they open that door and step out into the church parking lot. We've all been there. But do we prepare to come to church? Are we prepared to honor the Lord by making ourselves prepared to come to the house of God? You play sports, you stretch, you loosen up, you jog a little bit, you get your body warmed up, you get ready for the game, you get ready for practice. What do? To get ready to come to worship? Do we take the time and say, well, preacher, do I really need to pray and read my Bible? It's Sunday. I'm going to get preaching all day. Are you coming prepared? Taking time to spend with the Lord? Time in your word? I study through the week to see Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching, Sunday night and Wednesday night. It takes time to study to prep. But you know what? I also have my own separate devotions that I have. Because that's for me. What I do in study preparation, if I'm listening and tuning in, God is for you. And I get benefit out of it too. I get my toes stepped on often when I'm preparing sermons. But that's for you. I need it for me. How do we prepare and how do we honor God? Do we make that preparation before we come to the house of God that we're prepared and ready, not only to meet the Lord if he returns, but in anticipation that he will join us by his Spirit in the service? A few examples here. I like this style, so it's how I'm going to worship him. I like this entertainment, so it is what I'm going to allow in my Christian life. I like this, or I think this is the best way to raise my children, so I'm going to allow them to choose, allow them to do their thing. I don't know, but is it not contrary to the Word of God? Problem is today, and I don't want to get tied up in this, I need to move on, but I think we got more like we got children raising parents, we got parents raising kids today. It's just a mess. I think a church should be like this, so I'm going to attend that kind of church. And they continue to church hop for years and years and years. All too often, it's what I think that keeps us from honoring God. So let me ask you, what does God think? What does the Word of God say? How am I to honor God? How am I to please him? How am I to honor my wife? How am I to honor my husband? How am I to honor the things of God, the house of God, and the people of God? We try to explain our reasoning with phrases like, that's not really important to me. I can remember as a teenager, and I thought to myself, and I really did, wow, why would I ever want to be a preacher? And here I am. But I heard things like, as a teenager, not in my home, not in my daddy's car. This is with someone else going home for a meal. Oh man, the preacher really carried the message today. Or, that makes for good preaching, but that's not anything that we'll practice in our home. What do you think that does to a kid or for a teenager? It's a wonder that I'm even in the ministry today sometimes with things that I heard. I made a choice real quick that I wasn't going home with them any longer. I wasn't going to spend the day. I wasn't going to go to their home. I might see them in youth group at other times. I just wasn't going to do it. And I look back and I wonder, and I know the family, I know the name. And in fact, he was the mayor of our city. Why did he say those things in earshot of a college student, a high school student, and a junior high student to hear as they made their way home? I'm sure that that might work for you, but I don't really believe that. By believe, we really mean accept, and thereby we reject it. See, remember, the word honor means to give weight to. It communicates that we understand whatever God says is weighty. I've used the illustration a few times in the commercials and advertisers back in the 70s and 80s. When E.F. Hutton talks, people, boy, would to God that more Christians would listen to when God speaks, would listen when they read the Word of God, that they would put more weight. I tell you what, I have reverential, godly fear to my Heavenly Father. Not, oh, Lord, please don't strike me dead. No, reverential and honor and fear. But I have that, oh, please don't kill me, to my dad as a kid growing up. No, I wasn't going to cross my dad. Well, my dad's word had a lot of weight. When he said, son, don't do it, I didn't do it. And if I did, I wished I hadn't, and I would never do it again because there was consequences. How much weight do we put on the things of God and what God says? And if we're not honoring God, we're not putting him in a place of honor, and those things he says do not carry the right weight. You see, the idea of honor is that when God speaks, I give his words weight. I listen. We need to remind ourselves, remember, when we're reading the Word of God, when we're listening in Sunday school, when we're hearing the preacher of the Word of God, we're reading our Bible, we're having our devotions. We need to remember that it's God speaking. It's not a commentary. But we want to commentary it out of our comfort zone. We want to commentary it out and justify it. And then when we do that, we're not honoring God. Maybe Eli felt, well, I need my boys. Without them, how am I going to do all the work? I don't know, but I think if he'd have thrown them out of the tabernacle and he'd have dealt with them the way he should have dealt with them, God would have provided a way. He would have. He would have provided a way. He would have made a means to the end if he had done things the way that he should have. So, when God speaks about my family, I listen. Boy, it's not real hard. When God speaks about my mouth as it pertains to gossip, slander, foolishness, or filthiness, I listen. Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. I believe Samuel said that. How often do we say, Lord, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to receive. That's all part of honoring God. When God speaks about the gathering of believers in his church, I listen. When God speaks about my family and how to raise children, I listen. I know today it's a very, very dangerous thing for a pastor, a teacher, or a Christian to even talk about discipline today in the society that we live in. But you know, the Bible hasn't changed. There is a right way, there is a wrong way, and there's a way that sometimes we might have to thread the needle, but it can still be done according to God's word and God's way. When God speaks about possessions and what I am to do with them, I listen. Do we? Can we write in those blanks, I listen? Can we write that in confidence knowing that, yes, that is what I do? And as I listen, I also respond. As I listen, I also respond. See, we all hear, but are we listening? I think I probably give an illustration, but some of the best ones I have is I'm guilty, and ladies, you can sharpen your elbows up again if you want to. But my wife and my girls have learned through the years when they were younger growing up, especially when they hit that teenage year, there's something about teenage girls that they learn real quick about daddies. They knew if dad was watching the news, I'll go ahead, I won't be politically correct, Fox News, when I was watching the ball game, when I was watching a sporting event, hey, now's the time to ask dad. Now's the time to ask dad. Because I'm so consumed, and I'm a political junkie. I'm going to have to record Wednesday night because I don't want to miss the debate. But I'm going to be in the house of God. I don't understand at times how parents could just be so flippant in that area and not be concerned. But here we are in a world today that's progressed where they are, decisions that we've made, but how do we respond to the Lord? Do we wrestle? Do we fight? There's another gentleman in the Bible that wrestled with the Lord and left with a limp. How often do we in our life try to justify what we think as opposed to listening to what God says? Either it's what we think because we know better than God, or we listen and honor God and put him in a place of honor. But back to my girls. They knew if daddy was interested, if dad was too busy, more likely than not, he's probably going to say, oh, yeah, whatever you want, girls, go see your mom. But what dad really meant was, I don't want to give you an answer, go ask your mom. But what they got is what I said. They went and said, Mom, Dad said we could. So we had to learn after a while to find out, well, did you ask your father? Okay, then what did he say? Did you ask your mother? Well, what did mom say? Most importantly, we need to learn is what does God say? I did my best, and I'm not the perfect dad. We weren't the perfect parents. But there were very often with our children when they made mistakes and when they did right, often we talked about things. I would ask them, well, what does the Bible say? And when they became teenagers and they had a question or concern, I would sit down and I would listen to everything they had to say. And then I would ask them, let's switch chairs. And let me ask you, I'm one of your friends asking you the same question. How would you answer? It was amazing how they knew the answer when they were sitting in my chair when I was their friend asking the same question. They even had the verse to go with it. They had obviously already read, but trying to find maybe a way. Let's just honor God by doing what we know he tells us to do and not try to justify. So we close tonight. Because Samuel valued the wisdom, the ways, and the very word of God, God honored Samuel. Samuel let none of God's words get by him. He caught them. Now look what God has done for Samuel. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. I could sit here tonight and I can play catch with Brother Cherry. He can choose to catch what I'm pitching, or he can just let it go by. Let's do that again. He can just let it go by. How many Christians let what God say just go by, as opposed to catching what he's giving us? We just let it go. So we make a choice. Either we'll decide to honor God. So my closing statement tonight, will you catch the word of God as you study and read the word of God, or will you let them get by? Will you let them go by? And by the way, before you can catch it, two things have to take place, one or two things. You have to be listening or you have to be reading. Listening when the word of God is being taught and preached, and paying attention and reading when you're reading the word. Say, God's word and God's words are available to us, but are we listening as well as catching and receiving? Are we reading and into it as well as we are catching and receiving what he has? Sometimes we highlight, and I have my notes tonight, and this sermon was prepared 2 weeks ago, preparing to go to see Brother Nez and his family, so I'll be ready for this past week and this week as well. And I went back this afternoon and went over it. I printed it out already previously, and often I'll go back and I write little notes, and Brother Chair can confirm I've got writing and circles and highlights that maybe the Lord brings, or maybe I'll look at and read it once more time that I want to highlight. You ever highlight a mark in your Bible? Ever make notes? That maybe you didn't see it. Maybe it's somewhere that you read before and then you didn't notice it, but this time you see something different. Isn't it amazing how God reveals and shows things when we're ready to listen and to catch and to receive? I think there's some things in my Bible that I've read many times in years gone by that might not have been marked or noted because maybe I wasn't quite there spiritually ready to receive it that way. It's a matter of growing. It's a matter of understanding. And as we grow, the Lord continues to give us things. Sometimes as younger Christians, we may see things and recognize things and we want to honor God, but we may not see it in the way maybe that we should. But as we grow a little older in the Lord, not age of physical age, but spiritual age, we begin to see things and realize, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Why, I didn't know that. You mean I've been doing this and maybe I shouldn't have been doing it? And there's where we honor God. Or we say, well, I've been doing it all this time, it won't matter. Or we choose to honor God by receiving it and catching it and moving on. My Bible tells me, and so does yours, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our world may change, but he does not. And we should not in our faith toward him. I choose to honor God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, your grace, for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us, Father. And help us, Lord, to determine our own hearts, whether we write it down in our Bible, write it on a piece of paper, put it somewhere we see later. Just the thought and idea, I choose to honor God. And Lord, we'll be tested. Devil will bring things before us to see how willing we really are to honor you in all things and in all ways. Father, help us to be steadfast and faithful. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love as we have a little time of fellowship and begin and start of our work week tomorrow. Father, may you be uplifted and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.